If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
This is the OAccess Jamaica podcast, Reasonings with Odessa. Episode 6. It's live, guys. It's live.
Bad man out and stunting. Kyle them tick like dumpling. Girl with big body jumping. Action ready for the thumping. Fresh like Portland, eh? Juvie just cast at the boat, not me. Just calculate the total. Now the money make me get antisocial. Man straight, like my pants them. Oh, Lord. Cause he got the weed and the blimp. Gyal a come cross, bring a friend. Oh, Lord. And them a feel like for me friend them. Boom, boom, zoom, see that pull up the yeng, yeng. Warnings, paint on, cheng, cheng. We no two, chatty, chatty, big friend. Entourage, when you see the text them. We all time bad.
Hey, 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 hot girl summer. No, it's called bun up summer. My God, it's so hot outside. My Lord, it's hot. Anyway, guys, I'm in the comfort of some air conditioning, big up. And I just would like to tell you guys about this episode. This episode 6 is a very special episode because I recorded it live with an audience. So I'm not going to like go into too much formalities. I just want to big up Storm Sorter, who was my special guest for this episode. And guys, just listen to it, enjoy, and please go and watch Sprinter movies. The Drinky Poo sponsors is brought to you by Hamden Rum, so big up to them. But you'll hear that again right through the podcast. So let's get cracking and listen to Reasonings with Odessa with my special guest, Storm Sorter. All right, guys. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so happy. Thank you, guys, for coming out to my first Live with an Audience Reasonings podcast. Oh, my God. Give you guys a clap, man. So before we get started, you know, I have to big up my Drinky Poo sponsors. And that is Hamden Rum. Who you guys have been enjoying all the cocktails. Tell me what your favorite cocktail is. You can just shout it out for me. What is it? Fruit punch, pine and ginger. What else? All right. And then I also would like to big up my partners, which is the Regency Bar and Lounge. I'd like to give a special thanks to Christelle, to Matthew, and to Franklin for like partnering with me on this. I also want to big up my other sponsor, which is Main Event. They came through. I called Salah. He was like, yo, I said, Salah, I need lights. He said, all right, let me just send it, and it's done. So big up Main Event for that as well. I also want to, oh, people are rolling in late. I see you, Marcia, rolling in late. Who else is late? all right, I want to say another shout out to the Regency, not the Regency, the Terranova is celebrating 60 years. So thank you guys for really like partnering with me with this. Now, before we get started, all of you guys have phones. And I wouldn't be doing a podcast without everybody going into your Apple or your Android phone. Right now, man, look, we can't see. Everybody, I want you all to go into Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple, and I want you to all look for Reasonings with Odessa. And then press subscribe. No, I'm going to give you like 2 minutes right now. I'm going to be waiting because I want to make sure that I see some subs. All right. Thank you, Debbie. Carlene, big up. Make sure, you know, I see my sisters over there, Safran Sana, no pictures. Subscribe. All right. All right. Let's get started. We're going to get started. Now, I did my last podcast was with a writer and author, Akala, and I sent this gentleman the podcast link, and the first thing he said to me was, what? So I'm going to get my reasonings. So I said, you know what? We're going to do it, but we're going to do it different. So
Without any other formalities, I'd like to introduce my very special guest tonight, award-winning director, Storm Sauter. Welcome, Storm. Big up.
Wagwan.
You feel good?
Yeah, man.
You're nice. Romot?
Romine.
All right. Good, take a seat. All right, let's get going. It's a Storm.
Yes, my friend.
Before we do that, let's just take a sip of rum.
Yeah. That one I can leave.
Cheers. Cheers. Mm. All right, before that, I'm good now.
Yeah.
Is everybody feeling mellow? All right, Storm. Whoops.
We can't see nobody, though. It's
I know, we
interrogation
can't see anybody because of the lights, but it's all good, it's all good. So, Storm, where'd you get that name from, and do you really represent Storm?
Well, naturally, I got the name from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were, you know, are pretty unique people. They were, you know, kind of like pioneering. They left Kingston, I believe, in 1970, went to Negril. They had three kids at the time. You know, Rasta, alternative, living everything. And then they had another five kids,
mm-hmm.
right? And, yeah.
So he's like, what?
So the first were Stephanie, Scott, Joanna. That was Kingston, young days. And then there was a break. They went to Negril. And then the next child was Windy Moon. And then Astro.
Yeah.
And then Shasta. And then Storm. And then Niall, who's also here.
Niall, a.k.a. Yeah. Sex symbol. Big up yourself,
Niall. my parents, I think, were very much into kind of like Native Indian, as in Native American approaches. Basically, I was born in a storm.
Ah.
That's why my name is Storm. I was born in the middle of a storm. And I think that's basically it. When Windy was born, it was a full moon and it was very windy. You know what I mean? You know, it's just like,
I love it.
Whatever's happening. So that's kind of where it came from.
I love it. I love it. I love it. What was it like growing up in Negril? And what do you love the most about Negril?
Growing up in Negril was amazing, especially when I was a lot younger. Because, you know, and also because me and Niall were, you know, like the last two of a group of eight.
The washbellies.
Yes. we were kind of left to our own devices. So, yeah, man, una two boy, just run around, figure it out. So, and we lived in West End Negril, which is still where our family home is. And basically, you know, go on a mango bush, you and your brethren, them, go find mango, run a boat, pop out of the bush in some other part of the, you know, town somewhere, walk back home. We used to go fishing. We're on the cliffs on the West End, so like we're right across from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up swimming, fishing, shooting fish. So for me, there was this real sense of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Like we would cover a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't restricted to any small space or yard or anything. We were on
it's
the move
freedom.
All the time. We had bicycle. We all here say somebody dead up in a Orange Hill. We don't even know who them I have wake. We jump on a bicycle, gone up Orange Hill, gone at the wake. You know what I mean? And these, you know, my sense of adventure was very much kind of honed there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very kind of... And Negril is an interesting space because a lot of people pass through Negril and then it also has this old school kind of hippie energy from a long time.
Yeah.
So it was pretty free. And like I grew up with a lot of kids from all over the place. So it was a kind of... I feel kind
of unique.
You think
that's what kind of shaped you to be the cool guy?
I guess... I think the more you kind of see and the more you're exposed to, is, I guess, the easier it is for you to find yourself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe try to know where you want to go, who you want to be, or try to how to relate. I think I was just exposed to a lot, which has had a major impact in me maybe figuring out what I want to do earlier on as well.
All right.
You know?
So I was at the premiere, and guys, this is for Sprinter, and Auntie Maxine, as I call her, Auntie Maxine Walters, she mentioned something about you and her connection. And, you know, when did you, you know, when was it that you kind of fell in love with film? And tell me about the story, how you met Maxine and how that shaped you a little bit.
Well, really and truly, first and foremost, well, my mom, Gran Salter, went to school with Maxine.
Big up.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's a certain, I don't know what it is about this generation of women in particular in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
But them are just the boss. I don't know how them... They're just the boss. I don't know how to describe it. They handle it. Not to say that there's not some bosses of the modern age here as well, but there's a certain group of Jamaican women from a certain time, and my mom was one of those people, so is Maxine. So that was like my mom's childhood friend and someone that I'd known all through my time. But my parents, and my mom in particular as well, I mean, I was always encouraged to explore my creativity. So if I was interested in art, I was doing that. If I was interested in taking pictures, I was taking pictures. And that's kind of what led or sparked my interest. And I started to go to film school in the U.S., in L.A. I had the opportunity to go there. One of my sisters had moved there, and I had to get out to Jamaica because I was just this strange creative youth just trying to figure it out. And one time after I came back to Jamaica in the summer, there was a music video being shot, and Maxine was producing it locally. And Maxine had known me all a long time and said, you know what, we're in Negril. Come on the location scout, the tech scout. And it was with Director X, Little X at the time. Music video director. And Maxine, I think she actually set me to sit in the front of the bus beside X. She was like lining it up from early and had the opportunity to speak to him. And I don't really know what I said to this brethren that day, but I said something that makes sense. Because he said, you know what? I'm going to give this youth a camera and I want you to shoot second unit. Which is big. You go from a tag along on a tech scout to now you have your own 35mm camera, your own crew, you're shooting a whole set of this music video. I had obviously been in school.
What was the music video?
It was Donnell Jones and Styles P from The Lox.
Wicked.
And they shot a video in Negril. And it was cool. And then after that experience, X said, yo, Bridget, you should really come to New York. So I figured out a way to get to New York, you know, and he was one of my mentors. And that was just one of the first moments where Maxine kind of guided me into a situation that led to something. And you know, she's an amazing woman.
She's
worked
amazing.
With so many people here, and still is still a major
still
support.
Still so helpful, and still it's like, yeah.
And not only her, I have to big up all the women that have kind of impacted me in my life, from my mom to my sisters to the other women that have been in my life, to Maxine, to Natalie Thompson.
That's right.
You know what I mean? These are the people that have given a lot of us in this industry their start. They're still the producers that we work with often. You know what I mean? And they deserve all the props.
They do,
you know what I mean?
Definitely. So Everybody give a round of applause for that, man. I'm just going to fling this in now. Tell me about the first time you went to Carib to see a movie, and what was the movie?
Whoa.
Because everybody has an experience at Carib and the first time they went, if you can think back to that time.
You see, because I never come from Kingston, it was like an early... You know what I remember before Carib? I remember the drive-through.
All right.
How about you? How about you drive through?
I used to smuggle people in the car, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. I used to hold like two or three people in the car.
Yeah. I remember going to see The Lion King.
Okay.
As a youth at a drive through.
All right.
That was cool. I'd never forget that. Man, that thing should come back, man.
Yeah.
That vibe was so cool.
We need it.
And you have some man up in some tree with them radio. Right? Because, you know, it's a radio station that they push out the audio.
Yeah.
So you have a man hitch up in a tree with the radio. I mean, that should be a scene.
You got a new idea now for a next movie, for a next scene. You started making, before films, you were doing a lot of music videos. And do you still do them? And what was your favorite that you worked on? Before we started, as you mentioned, something with Grace Jones. And just want you to tell a little bit about that. But also talk about...
The videos
that you did as well.
Well, I mean, I love the form of music video. I see it as like a creative art, you know, it's a creative endeavor, unlike a commercial or something. As a director, it's a creative stamp. Mm-hmm. So that's always fun. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you can make a video with the right tune, hundreds of millions of people can see it. You know what I mean?
But creatively, what was your favorite, though? Creatively. It doesn't have to, because we don't want to out the artist them and then them come for you.
Yeah.
So we want to know creatively.
Man, I've done a few. You know, I did a video which was actually like, well, I don't know what you'd kind of call it. It was semi-unofficial, but it became semi-official. But there was a video that we did for The Weeknd. Mm-hmm. And when the weekend had their first mixtape, and we just went out and decided to shoot something.
Oh, I saw that.
No money, four people, Portland, and
I think that was actually
it went
really
viral. Dumb. It was like everywhere on the internet.
That was before
Vader.
He got signed.
Yeah, that was before he got signed. That was his first mixtape, and that was just cool because we were like going to break rules type of thing. So that was fun. Obviously, Protégé and Chronix, who knows, was great, and that has been seen by over 100 million views. And recently, just like I did a project with Arcade Fire, which was very kind of experimental, and they're a very alternative rock band. And then Skankin' Sweet by Chronix.
Right.
You know, for me, music video is always something that's just fun to step back into. Some of the most inspiring like cinematic work is in music video form. So I always like to play with it. But at the same time, after the whole pump the brakes on the videos because it's purely good, no money video, and then want the world.
Boy, you want to see?
Boy, you want to see? But me know some, me have my friend them, you know, me have enough people who show up, you know. We can't get people.
Debbie's laughing.
And this is like, you know, it doesn't really work. It's not the type of thing that can just work, so we don't know.
It's hard, guys. So those that don't do music videos, trust me, it's hard. It's hard.
This is like throwing off the balance here.
It's okay. All right.
Yeah. Sorry.
For our audio listeners, Storm just moved a glass of pine and ginger, the other one. And you see when they go down, yeah, bartenders, you make sure you have to come and replenish, you know. All right? All right, so before you started, we're going to go back. So I just wanted to say also, congratulations on winning the American Black Film Festival award. And how does winning awards help push your brand, you know, for a Jamaican film? Like, does it really do anything, or is it just like, yeah, I just got an award?
No, it does something. You can't make it go to your head and get too excited about it. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the thing. But what it does do is it cements in people's mind that this is something you have to pay attention to. And honestly, there's a lot of people making work, a lot of people making films, and that might be the difference between the right person kind of seeing it or it falling, or you being able to start that conversation. So it is important. It's an indicator. And it's important to like go to festivals that celebrate the work that you make. Because there's a lot of big festivals that are extremely political.
Let's just say black.
Yeah, of course. Yes, you can say it. Yeah, black. Yeah. Festivals that celebrate black film and just generally films of the African diaspora not non-white driven films, which is kind of what a lot of it is, or kind of a European perspective of what your style of film should be. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like with Sprinter, as many of y'all will see who haven't seen it yet, it might not be the easiest film to classify. It looks like a sports film. You know, it's a family film. Seems like it's a small film, it's a big film. It has major scope. It's like hard to put in a box, right? And I feel like people are working with a kind of played out algorithm of what films with people that look like all of us should be about, what the stakes of the characters should be for them to care. You see me? If it's not some life and death, you know, everyone's gonna die if I don't do this. Then it's like, oh, is it really dramatic? Meanwhile, like, a white kid can just be trying to make the team in their movie. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, wow.
Is he going to make it?
Wow.
Oh, wow, he made it.
Exactly.
It's like, come on.
Exactly.
You know, that's...
It's the same thing with music, I think, that they think, oh, they niche reggae music as summer music, you know, and they put it in a little pocket. And it's just for the summer, like your braids are for the summer hairstyle or whatever. So it's the same
thing. And that's a tool of, let's be real, it's a bit of a tool of control. Because that's why it's important when a Caribbean film now come win American Black Film Festival, Pan-African Film Fest, because we're not competing against other Caribbean films. We're competing against films in general, you know what I mean? And you're in America competing against a mostly American film. So when you kind of Windows festivals, it's like, okay, something might go on, you know?
Or you just say, yo, we're there.
Yeah. But we're still trying to prove the market with his film and trying to create the information or the algorithm or whatever that's going to show distributors and folks that this is something worth investing in. This will make you money. This is good business. It's not just, come on, you know.
So, you know, like, your first film was Better Must Come. What did that film teach you?
Respect.
What did that film teach you what to do and not what to do moving forward when you went to do Sprinter, when you started to do Sprinter?
Better Must Come. Okay, what did it teach me? One thing about that film, I was a superhuman when I made it. As in, like, my body wasn't doing normal human things. Like, I was so driven to make it that it was like, you know, there was one scene, just not to divert, but just to give an example of how things have kind of adjusted and changed. There's one scene where we got old school JDF vehicles, like a convoy, like five vehicles. And we just had them driving around Port Royal. So all those little streets near Gloria's, up and down there, we had them driving. And we didn't have a ton of time, and I knew I needed all this footage of this raid and stuff. So we literally set up like the entire scene in different parts of the neighborhood, and I put on a Steadicam. Steadicam is extremely heavy piece of equipment.
Sorry.
It's gotten lighter, but it's extremely heavy. And I had a camera, and Niall was there. I'm sure he was probably shooting as well. Yo, I was running along with cars that were moving as cars move, in between cars, in and out of buildings, and I just wouldn't stop. You know what I mean? Like, my body just went. And that was like, there's a level of drive just to make something, it was like a shout. You know what I mean? It's a loud scream. And I put everything into it. And I think it came out to be a pretty good film.
It did.
You know? But it was so much just like, I was just like a wrecker.
So you didn't do that with Sprinter?
With Sprinter is more, you just kind of step back, look at the playing field, kind of see, and just try to plan and try to manage and try to work smart.
Yeah.
Okay, you can work hard through everything, but you'll burn yourself out, and you can get there, but it's something you do.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to become way more strategic. As I get better as a director, I shoot faster. I know what I want. I shoot less.
Yeah.
And it's like you're fighting with a sharper sword. It's like my sword is sharper now, you know what I mean? So I don't need to, you know, I can kind of just...
Yeah. All right, so like, okay, let's go into it. Why did you actually do a movie on track and field? You know, without giving too much away to our audience who haven't seen it yet, who are going to see it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the rest of the week. Tell us a little bit about Sprinter and why track and field? Why a story about a track and field star?
For me, it's like obvious. It's like a zeitgeist moment thing waiting to happen. And the thing about film is, it's like you can't, if something is relevant in the moment. For example, a big part of Sprinter is immigration. And that's a key thing that kind of places our characters in the space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, issues of immigration have always been there. But I didn't know necessarily like immigration would be at the top of everybody's tongue. Whether it's immigration, Caribbean people in the UK,
mm-hmm.
whether it's what's happening in the US right now, mm-hmm. and immigration being like a key thing in world media. But ultimately, you kind of see it happening and you plan early. And same thing with track and field. It was just obvious to me. We've been dominating for so long. I had been working with Bolt quite a bit and with other Puma athletes, another situation that Maxine very much guided me into and gave me opportunity to show myself. And I was building up a rapport with Bolt and his team and with Puma and them and all of that was just leading over like maybe 3 years to being able to do this film, to being able to get Puma to sponsor, to being able to ask Bolt to appear in the film while he knew I was serious. So it's like, I don't know how to describe it. You're trying to see everything as you can. You're trying to plot as you can plot, and then you're making a lot of quick decisions that guide this way or the other. And so for me, track and field is a world that everyone is interested in. Mm-hmm. At first, I was hoping this film would have been ready to like release for Olympics in Brazil. But you know, things take time.
Definitely.
And that helped to drive me. But I just thought it was clear. But then beyond that, for me, track and field is the world. But the story is about a Caribbean family. It's about a modern family that is trying to, in all reality, we're trying to depict slightly a more middle of the road existence. It's not this existence of extremes. You know what I mean? And I think that's what a lot more of us are living.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Most definitely.
Even if some of these things create the stereotypes that we kind of identify as Jamaican, I kind of wanted to just edge away from that or just try find ways to put those stereotypes in context or flip them. You know what I mean? So for me, track and field is not only sports, is a perfect parallel for life. You know what I mean? And conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if you're trying to tell a story about getting to this ultimate place, you have conflict. And also, the thing about track is, as y'all know, I'm sure a lot of y'all are track fans, you pay attention, you got champs, etc. There's a lot of talented track athletes.
A lot.
Many. What's making this one youth from Casey or Calabar or this place, or that, what's making them edge up that more, that much more? Is it that they're just physically better, or is it that they're more mentally
stronger?
Right. So when your superpower is your ability to be mentally clear, then it creates a perfect world for conflict, because if all these things are happening in your world and your life, emotionally, etc., that's messing with your focus, it's messing with your center, and you need to be centered to win. So from a storytelling perspective, track and field is just like the perfect vehicle. And I think sports films traditionally have never really been about the sport.
Mm-hmm. It's about the actual love, life, family, etc.
It's about the person. It's about the internal battle always.
All right, let's have some fun now. All right. Favorite Bounty Killer song? And you have to DJ a little bit of it.
Look into my eyes.
Hey.
I mean, that tune is just, it's more than a tune.
Yeah, it's a
political
That
tune is more
statement.
Than a tune. It's beyond a tune. It's something else. You know what I mean? It's something else.
I know you love Trinidad.
I love Trinidad as a nation.
Yeah. So what's your favorite Bungie Garland song?
Blood Fire. That one that we blew up on, actually. The one.
Road? Ready for the Road?
Ready, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that one, that bad. Yeah.
What is the best thing about Kingston?
I think Kingston is the creative heartbeat of Jamaica. As in, even if, you know, we're creating all around, but this is kind of the vein, this is like the heart. You have to come in here to get into the... to get into the thing, you know what I mean? So I think that's what I love, is that there's a magnetism here that draws creatives from the rest of the country, from the rest of the world, and a lot of magic is made. You know, you can't tell me that Jamaica is not one of the most energy-filled places. I mean, when you see all these foreign artists coming here just to hang out, just book out studio... Them just book out studio and trying to catch a vibe, you know.
It's always a vibe.
Them book out the studio, them thing, them get some herb, them go on to this dance. And they're just sitting there just waiting to catch a little bit of this Jamaica vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in it. We live
and
in the
Kingston,
vibe.
Kingston, you know? Has all of that.
Kingston has it. And Kingston has its other things too. It's a it's a country of extremes, and Kingston is a land of extremes. You know what I mean? So it's not the easiest city, obviously. As a woman, you know that, right?
I love Kingston.
Even more.
I just hate potholes and traffic.
Yeah.
That's it. I love Kingston, though. What? All right. Glorious or Helsha?
Whoa. All right, I got to be real with you here. Helsha have the, original, the fish and the so-and-so. But me no like, me don't even park yet and 5 people are telling me how to park. Me no like that. So the informal parking attendants are messing with my appreciation of the seafood. Yeah.
So you prefer the seafood, you don't like the, when you enter Helsha and the little way man them start body, but you prefer the fish there, or do you prefer the fish at Gloria's?
Boy. I mean, yes. As I said earlier, Helsha really, the food,
All right.
It's getting to the food that sometimes is just like, let me just, you know.
All right, let's
divert.
Talk about movies in Jamaica. What is the best thing about going to the cinema in Jamaica, and what's the worst thing that's going I know my worst. What is it?
Yeah, yeah. The best, boy, I mean, I know. Intermission is rough. And I tried to watch this movie. I tried to watch Us in Jamaican theaters. It was like that movie that just get canceled out for me because I could not get into it.
What's poppin', guys? It's Jay Jonah here from Blowin' Smoke. If you're a fan of fun, insightful, and breakthrough conversations, then be sure to check out and subscribe to The Blowin' Smoke Podcast, a show that covers life experiences and firsthand testimonies from some of your biggest names in your favorite industries. And it's all brought to you exclusively right here by The Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
Because everybody came ready, like, I'm going to occupy every silent space with an off joke. And it's just like, it's fascinating to hear how the Jamaican audience fills the space.
Yeah.
With additional noise. But sometimes it's frustrating, sometimes it's funny.
Have you gone to watch your own, like, Sprinter now? You're going to go in and watch it with your Jamaican audience.
Yeah.
Was Better Must Come in the movies? Was it out?
Yeah, it was.
So what was your vibe? What was the vibe there? What was your expression?
It was great. It's a different type of film. But yeah, it was very powerful. I definitely want to watch Sprinter. I've been watching audiences Sprinter all over the world.
There's one scene only I'm waiting for when I go to watch
it. There is a certain scene.
We can't tell you that scene. I think those that have seen it will know. But that scene there. All right. Finish this sentence. Family is...
Why not try to give me my answer? Everything.
Ah. All right, and the last question. I love Jamaica because...
Oh, gosh. I love Jamaica because it's the vibes, yes. I don't know, man. Like, I've been to other places in the world that are super sterile and people aren't brave enough to be themselves sometimes or explore. And I love that Jamaicans have a sense of adventure. We have a sense of going against the system. We have a sense that nobody can really rule we. You know what I mean? And, you know, it has its, you know, difficult implications. At the same time, there's a freedom of spirit that you can't really go around. You know what I mean? And we set it for a lot of other people. Our way of being gives a lot of folks confidence and ways to be. So I love that about Jamaica. I feel like there's heights of creativeness and spiritual energy that you can tap into here that is kind of unmatched.
I don't know what it is about this island. You know what I mean?
There's a natural mystic blowing through the air, as them said. You know?
And on that note, we're going to end that. So guys, Sprinter is out island-wide tomorrow in Jamaica, and also... For our listeners that are in the US and in, you know, I don't know if we're only coming to the UK, but for our listeners in the US, where do they go to find out where they can screen Sprinter?
Yeah, well, Sprinter is playing all across the US.
Yeah.
You can go to our website, sprinterthefilm.com. You can request screenings in your area. You can also see a listing of all the upcoming screenings. Mm-hmm. So sprinterthefilm.com is the way. And we're coming out in Canada in August. We're coming out in the UK in August.
All right.
So just come to our website to follow all things. Our hashtag is sprinterthefilm, @sprinterthefilm. We've had, I don't know, hundreds of screenings in the US. At this point, I believe we've screened in over 50 cities. We're, you know,
all right. One more question that some people really think I missed. What was the vibe with... How do you get Jada and Will Smith to be a part of this movie? I mean, I wanted to keep it Jamaican, but yo, Jada's Jamaican.
That question,
so
we have
to big R up. Jada's Jamaican, so we have to big R up. So, tell us how it happened.
It was a number of things. I feel like everything was aligned at the right moment. They were pivoting to support independent cinema and new voices in cinema. We had gotten a script to a certain point. Mm-hmm. My producer, Rob Mailer, who I believe is here somewhere.
Big up, Rob. Where are you? It's so dark in
here. I saw him somewhere. but he had been working with them on previous stuff. He had been actually developing what has now become like their social media presence. Mm-hmm. And they had asked him what he was working on. The script was just ready. were able to put the script in front of them. They read it the day we sent it. The next day they were like, we're in. We want to do something with this. So, yeah, it's Nuff Things. Nuff Things was built into that point, but everything just kind of
happened. And another quick question. The Marlon James book, what's going on with that? The one I'm talking about.
I'm working on my second draft of the script of John Crow's Devil.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. 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 And
can you tell them who introduced you to Marlon James? I'm picking up my chest.
Yeah. So I'm on my second draft and I'm pushing, into that project. I'm really excited about that. Too. Obviously, I'm really excited to realize his ideas and his characters on screen.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a major moment. And I'm doing that, developing a number of episodic stuff, TV series. This might just be the beginning for Sprinter. You never know. And Nuff Things, man.
All right. Thank you so much, Storm, for coming in. Thank you, everybody else that came out tonight.
Thank you.
I'm really overwhelmed that, Storm could do this, and I'm overwhelmed that everybody could come out and support my little dream that's going to become a little bit bigger. So, big up yourselves, everybody, for coming out. Thank you for having me. All right, let's go. Let's have some more music. Rio.
Thanks once again, guys, for tuning in. It was the first live podcast I've ever did, and I was a bit nervous, but very, very, very happy that it all turned out very well. Thanks once again to my special guest, Storm Sorter. Guys, please go out and watch Sprinter. Stay tuned to our Access Jamaica for where Sprinter is going to be shown globally. And I also want to thank my sponsors, Hamden Rum, Regency Bar and Lounge, the Terranova Hotel, Main Event, Prince DOS Productions, and DJ Rio. Guys, don't forget, subscribe and rate to this podcast, and also share it with your friends. Until later, I'm your host, Odessa. Peace.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.